Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that you have obtained your church with your own blood. You yourself are the mediator. There is no one else, no one worthy. And God, would you forgive us for neglecting your body, the church, for failing to rejoice in the gift of the community that you have given us? Her name may be tarnished at times, Lord, but you are working fiercely and forcefully to purify your bride. And God, would you, in light of our text this morning, show us the significance and the importance of the gift that you have given to the church, elders, overseers, pastors, godly men called to care for your flock. God, we love you. We seek your glory. For the glory of the Son and through the power of the Holy Spirit, would you make your word? Would you make it clear to us this morning? To you be the glory, Lord. Amen. We're going to be in Acts chapter 20 this morning. Chapter 20, verses 28 and 28. We'll be looking at other verses as well. This week and next week, we're going to be going through a two-week series on the office of elder, and specifically its role, the role of an elder, and then the qualifications of an elder. But before we get there, I just want to set some framework. Within the context of the church, there are only two church offices that are made explicit: elder or overseer and deacon, and deacon. Those are the two offices. There are no other offices. Any other position that we might create are there to help us for organization or to facilitate something, but there is no other established required office in the New Testament. So we have music leaders indeed, but the church does not, the scriptures do not require we have one. We have Sunday school teachers indeed, but the church does not require that we have a Sunday school. But the office of elder and the office of deacon, these are required. And so, Lord willing, we're just going to look at the office of elder over the next 2 weeks. Today, the role. Next week, the qualifications. So today, what is an elder? What does it mean to be an elder? And then next week, focus in on, okay, well, who can do this? And of course, there's going to be some overlap. But would you read with me in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28? It says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." And we're going to see this morning from this text that elders are appointed by God to shepherd the flock of God. Elders are appointed by God to shepherd the flock of God. And so the first question might be asked, well, what are elders? Elders is a term that has fallen by the wayside by the end of the 1900s, but was much more common and much more common use. But I want you to look up to the answer that what are elders? I want you to look first and see at the beginning of this section in Acts. Look in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, and it says, "Now from Miletus, he," being Paul, "sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him." All right, so right here, this begins a section where Paul says, "I need the elders of the church to come to me." And so these elders are assembled. And then in verse 28 of the same chapter, it says, speaking to these elders, "Pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock." pay careful attention to yourself and all the flock. Meaning that the elders have a responsibility over themselves, and they have a responsibility over this group of people referenced as the flock. Well, flocks are what? Sheep. You have flocks of sheep. You can have flocks of other things, but the flock here is implying of sheep. And who oversees, who cares for sheep? Shepherds. All right? That's going to become important here. Shepherd has a Latin word that sounds similar to our English word, pastor. It is actually the idea of shepherd where we get our modern term, pastor. So anytime that you see this imagery of pastor in the New Testament, it's synonymous with the same imagery of shepherd in the New Testament. Or anytime you see this imagery of shepherd, it's synonymous with pastor. But listen to it. They're called, it's the elders are to care for. That word care for right there, made you overseers to care for all the church. That is the verb to shepherd. It is your job to do the job of a shepherd. Elders, your job is to oversee. And how do elders oversee? They shepherd. Elders, it's your job to oversee. How do they oversee? They pastor. Or why don't we go and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 real quick. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, it says this. Peter speaking to the church, he says, "So I exhort the elders among you." Again, the word elders, you. I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. Peter himself saw himself as an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. But then listen to this in verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God. That word shepherd right there is the same word earlier in Acts 20 where it says care for. What are elders supposed to do? They're supposed to shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising what? Oversight. Once again, elders exercise oversight. And how do they do that? By shepherding, by caring for. Or if you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it might surprise you, but there are no qualifications for pastor explicitly. Listen to this. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "If anyone aspires to the office of overseer," if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, so what is a elder supposed to do? An elder oversees. And how does he oversees? By shepherding. Or you go to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. "This is why I left you in Crete," Paul writing to Titus, "so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders." And in both Timothy and Titus right there, it then goes into the qualifications of what an elder is. And that's what we're going to pull together for next week. But we need to understand that elders oversee the church. Elders oversee the flock of God by pastoring, by shepherding. And so I think I've made clear that the New Testament uses these terms interchangeably. If we are familiar with the New Testament, we should not be surprised by the term overseer. We should not be surprised by the term elder, just as much as we are not surprised by the term pastor. The New Testament puts a heavier weight on even the term elder than it does pastor. Pastor as a position is only mentioned once in all of the New Testament, referencing humans as opposed to Jesus Christ himself. It refers to Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 5 as the chief shepherd, the chief pastor, but it only mentions pastor as a position one other time. Every other time it's the verb, it's the action, it's the activity. And further, every time you read about elders or overseers, those who pastor, those who shepherd the church, it's always in the plural. This should teach us that churches should seek to have a plurality of elders, but the New Testament does not necessitate, meaning if you have a church of 1,000, it would be a good idea to have elders. It'd be a good idea to have some other pastors who can assist in the weighty task of pastoring that church. But if you have a church of 10, it may be overkill to have 25 pastors. It might be a touch much. But on the flip side, let's say you have a church of 50 and you only have one man qualified. How many elders can you have? As we'll see next week, one. You can only have as many as what you are able to have. You may need new tires on the car, but if all you have is $3 in your pocket, guess what you're not getting? New tires on the car. We may need elders, more elders in a church, but if you don't have men qualified to stand in that role of eldering and overseeing and pastoring and shepherding, then you don't have that. You can only exercise and utilize that which God has gifted the body. But elders, what are elders? They oversee by pastoring, by shepherding the flock of God. We're going to look in more deeply what the qualifications of elders are next week. But as we stated earlier, the elders are appointed by God. What are elders supposed to do? They are appointed by God. Who appoints elders? Here in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Who has appointed, who has established, who has made these elders elders? The Holy Spirit, God Himself appoints and makes elders. If you're familiar with Ephesians 4:11, you'll discover that it's Christ who gave the church the apostles and the prophets. And we find out that those are the foundation of the church, but offices that are no longer presently in use or in function. But also gave evangelists, pastors, and teachers. All of these positions are roles that elders can hold. But if you read in 1 Timothy chapter 3:1, men aspire to the office. Men aspire. So Christ appoints these, the Holy Spirit appoints these, but men aspire to this. Men say, you know what, I want to be an overseer. And the scriptures say it is a noble thing. It is a noble thing when a man aspires to the office of overseer. But it does not say that once a man aspires, he gets it. It's not like, I want some bubble gum, so you go to the store and get some bubble gum. It's not like a man says, I want to be an overseer, I want to be an elder, I want to be a pastor. And everyone says, oh, go ahead. That's insufficient. If God does not appoint, then the aspiration is not enough. Because in Titus 1:5, as we read just a little bit ago, this is why I left you in Crete, to appoint elders. Elders appoint elders. Who are those that check and vet and ensure the doctrine of elders? Elders do. God gives godly men to make sure that it is entrusted and safeguarded. Paul regularly commends and exhorts Timothy, safeguard the good deposit that was entrusted to you, and then turn around and entrust that good deposit to others. God appoints elders, but He does this through means of the local church. No one gets to say, I'm a pastor. Who made you a pastor? Who appointed you? Who set you up? And be like, well, I just did on my own. That's not how it works. If God has not appointed you and demonstrated that appointment via the local church, then you are not a pastor. You can't just make it up. I'm going to be a pastor all of a sudden. You can't start a church the same way you start a business. You can't say, you know what? I want to start a business, so I'm just going to go down to the local store and get all of my store needs for my business, and I'm going to go open it. Now I'm the boss. That's not how it works within the church. You don't just say, you know what? I'm going to go down to the local church store, and I'm going to go buy all the churchy things, and then I'm going to become the pastor of a church. The church appoints and establishes elders by the authority and by the commissioning of God. but it's done through the church, not apart from. But elders are appointed by God to shepherd the flock of God, to pastor the flock of God. What does it mean to shepherd? What does it mean to pastor? And this is where we're really going to look at the role. We know what an elder is. We know who has appointed them. But what does it mean to shepherd? Well, in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says, "Pay attention to yourself. Pastors are devoted to their own spiritual well-being. The old adage, 'Do what I say, not what I do,' must never come from the lips of an elder." That must not come from the lips of an elder. "He must constantly be inspecting himself for anything that is not in conformity with godliness." Elders can be disqualified from the ministry. If you've graduated high school, no one can take that away from you. You cannot lose your graduation rights. You completed the task, you're done, move on. The saying within the Marines, "Once a Marine, always a Marine." There's even a saying within Boy Scouts that you can say you were in Boy Scouts, but if you achieve the rank of Eagle Scout, that rank exists for perpetuate, for eternity. That rank never goes away. But in regards to pastoring, you can become disqualified. And if you're disqualified, you're out. You're out. This is why elders must pay attention to themselves. Like Paul said, he said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." A pastor of the 1600s called Richard Baxter says, he says that hell is going to be filled with pastors who preach the gospel but failed to listen to it themselves. They could articulate the truths and the divine things of heaven, but they could not actually apply them to their own life. It's not enough just to have a title and to fake it until you make it. Elders have a responsibility to look but also be godly. But then it also says that a shepherd is supposed to pay attention to the flock. Pay attention to yourselves and to the flock. God was very sharp in his rebuke against those who cared for themselves but neglected his own people. Turn to Jeremiah 23 if you would. And in Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 4, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away. You have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply." Listen to this. There's a promise. "I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be any missing, declares the Lord." Now listen, it says, "I will set shepherds over them." He's not talking about Christ at this point. He's saying that I'm going to put other shepherds, other pastors, other elders and overseers who actually do it right. It is the responsibility of elders to pay attention to themselves. But it is the thrust and the purpose of an elder to pay attention to the flock, to pay attention to the church of God, to the household of God. And so how does a pastor do this? Well, he does it by protecting. Read in verses 29 through 30 in Acts 20. So Acts 20, verses 29 through 30. He says, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. There are two attacks that the shepherd has to protect from as he pays attention to the flock. First, he has to protect against the fierce wolves. Those who seek to openly attack the sheep must be warded off. This could be spiritual or physical attacks. In light of the events of recent weeks, gunmen. This has been seen throughout recent years, sexual predators. And certainly as displayed throughout TV, false teachers. And it is the responsibility of the elders to know all the sheep in the flock for whom they are responsible. This is why pastors ought to be in relationship not just with their own church, but also the local church. I need to know if someone comes in, one, are you a sheep? Are you a goat? Are you a wolf? Okay? Are you a sheep? Are you a goat or a wolf? Sheep belong. Goats hang out, but don't belong. Wolves attack and kill. I need to be in relationship with other churches, and I have these relationships and these conversations with other pastors. If someone by the name of so-and-so visits your door, let me know. Or I'll reach out, hey, if so-and-so visits your door, let me know. Or if someone says, hey, I'm looking for a church, I can tell people what churches are good to go to and which ones are not good to because I need to care for the flock. But at the same time, though, the reality is my brother, who is the pastor at Calvary Chapel, Pastor Craig Hall, his sheep are not my responsibility. And so if one of his sheep comes to me and says, hey, I need help, I'm going to say, where do you go to church? And he says, well, I go to Calvary Chapel. I'm going to say, then go home. Go home. My responsibility is to the flock I have been appointed over. But this requires that I protect from wolves who claim to be sheep but are not. And usually wolves, when they get chased out of one pen, will come into the next pen. And so I have responsibility to care and to protect and assess, is this a sheep, a goat, or a wolf? But I also have responsibility to protect not just from the outside but also from within. In verse 30, it says, and from your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. The church is filled with both wheat and tares. And unfortunately, you can't tell the difference until it actually blooms and produces what it's supposed to. You have to be able to look and say, is this person a goat or a sheep? Richard Baxter also, or no, not Richard Baxter, another pastor says, the way that you identify the goats from the sheep is you feed the sheep sheep food. Goats don't like sheep food. You preach the word. And the way that you deal with goats is you just preach the word. And it'll have one of two effects. The goats will get hungry and they'll go somewhere else to eat. Or two, they'll become sheep. Either way, stick with the sheep food. Not only must elders protect from wolves, they must protect from against goats. Outside attacks hurt, but internal attacks are most insidious. This is why church discipline must be faithfully and carefully exercised. Once a goat is spotted, they must be identified and rebuked appropriately. Appropriately. It's one thing to have your house broken into and items stolen. That would be devastating. But it would be another thing if it was a member of your own house that stole from you. You expect a burglar who has no relationship to you to be mean. But it hurts deeply when it's one of your own, someone from your own household, who then destroys. Elders have a responsibility to protect from fierce wolves from the outside and from among your own selves. Well, and how does an elder do this? How does he pay attention, and how does he protect? Well, they instruct. That's what elders are supposed to do. You instruct. I have had it said to me, here, you're a good teacher. Thank you. I've also had it said to me here, you're a good teacher, you're not a good pastor. You can't separate the two. You can't separate the two. They go together. Listen to this in verses 31 through 32. Therefore, based upon the fierce wolves, based upon the internal attacks, therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God with what? And to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The way that I best care for you, the way that I best ward off the attacks of wolves, and the ways that I best ward off the attacks of false teachers from the inside, is I continually admonish you with the Word of God. I continually bathe you in the Word of God. I don't have time to give you a haphazard message about, you know, 7 ways to live a better life now, or to get, you know, these things. We can have those discussions of finances and different stuff like that. But what you need is you need pure food. You need actual food that is going to sustain you, so that when you see a wolf, you don't go, oh, look, a puppy, let's play. But instead you run knowing that's danger. Or when you see a goat rejecting sheep food, you go, well, that's odd. I like that food. Why do they not like that food? It's done regularly, even daily, through the admonishing and through the giving of the word of grace. It's so important. Teaching is so important to the role of elder that if a man cannot teach, if he is not able to teach, he is disqualified from the role of elder overseer. If a man cannot teach, he cannot be a pastor. It doesn't matter how godly they are. If they cannot teach, they may not be in that office. Titus 2:15 demonstrates this most forcefully. Titus 2:15. Declare these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Paul just told Titus, don't teach the word in a haphazard, mamsy-pamsy, well, if you feel like, you know, listening, you know, if it's something that you feel like that your spirit might, you know, approach. No, he says, you speak with authority. This is the word of God. Do it. It's not an opinion. It's truth. It's authoritative. It is necessary. It's not up for dispute or for debate. Weak men cannot protect the flock. The flock of God. Elders are appointed by God to shepherd the flock. We've looked at these things of what it is to shepherd, but what is the flock of God? Well, the flock, we need to ask, what is the flock? But we also need to ask, to whom does it belong? Well, the flock is the church, the household of God. It is made up of those believers who have made a confession of salvation and obedience and have demonstrated that confession in baptism and then a life devoted to godliness. The New Testament makes clear of the universal church, but it makes very clear just as much that there is a local church. Every single letter in the New Testament is written in the context of the local church. Even those letters that are written to individuals are still written for the context of the local church. even Philemon and Titus and Timothy, is saying, take this information and apply it to the local church. So we could, and I'm sure most of us who have lived some time have heard this, so we can hear this, but we can refute this through the Bible. You know, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And a pastor, this one phrase really just made it stick. You don't have to go to home to be married either. It just helps. You know what happens to sheep when they're not with the flock? They die. So yeah, you may not have to go to be with the sheep to be a Christian. Fine. But your chances of survival get real small, real quick. People are like, well, the church is mean to me. You know, sheep bite. I can attest to that. Sheep bite. But wolves devour. I don't care how hard a sheep has ever bitten you. It will never compare to having your flesh consumed by a wolf who seeks your death and your demise. But to whom does the flock belong? The flock belongs to God. Often we'll say things like John Piper's church or Martin Luther's church. And to a degree, this is accurate. This is accurate. I mean, and let me use an analogy. Your family, my family, their family, Susie's family, Bob's family. We reference the family of the person, not as if that individual is the owner of the family, but it's their family based off of association. So this is my church, but it's Kyle's church. It's Lexi's church. It's Samuel's church. It's Nora's church. It's all of our church. Anyone who's here, it's individually our church because we're associated with it. But we're not the owners of it. So it's appropriate to a degree to say so-and-so's church because, well, they're associated with it. But whose church is this? And this flock, this church, belongs to God and God alone. And no other person can claim ownership. It's false. It is false for the Pope to claim a unique role over the church that is not warranted in Scripture. And look back in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the flock of God, which he obtained with his own blood. He obtained with his own blood. Jesus literally, physically died to obtain ownership over the church. Jesus says, this is my church. In 1 Peter, Jesus is the chief shepherd. In Ephesians, Jesus is the head of the church, and we are his bride. There is not any confusion throughout all of Scriptures that lets us know that the people of God belong to God. It's his house, it's his body, it's his flock. Which means we don't get to argue with him when he says, this is how my flock will be organized. If Jesus told all of us, you need to now walk on your hands, even if we said, well, that's difficult and inconvenient, I'm not going to do it, would have nothing to do with what we desire to do. It would be, well, God commanded it, so we're going to obey. Now, he hasn't commanded that. But that's how we often treat other commands that God clearly gives. I don't like that command from Christ. It's not our flock. It's not our church. We don't get to define these things. Instead, we submit to the authority of the Word of God. Say, okay, God, this is your flock. How do you want things? So if elders are appointed by God to shepherd the flock of God, and this is true, then what does this necessitate? Well, first, it necessitates that those who claim submission to the chief shepherd must demonstrate that claim by submission to the local church and her elders. It doesn't matter whether you're a member here or a member anywhere. You submit to the authority of those elders, those overseers, those pastors. In 1 Peter 5:5, it says, those who are young submit to the elders. But then in Hebrews 13, verse 17, it says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. I have a responsibility as your elder, as your overseer, as your pastor, to watch over your soul. Children who are believers. So everyone is a child, so I'm not just speaking to those who are of small feet age, but I do include them. Anyone who is just a child and not attached to anyone through marital relationship, children have a responsibility to God for who they are. And they will stand before God and give an account for how they have lived their life in obedience to God. Mothers will give an account for themselves and their children. Fathers will give an account for themselves, their wives, and their children. Elders will give an account, and if they are fathers, for themselves, for their wives, for their children, and for those that they have been apportioned or appointed to. This church has about 30 members. That means I am responsible for the souls of 30 people. I can't take that lightly or flippantly. I don't have the authority in and of myself to say, you need to submit to me. The scripture says, submit to the authority of the office. Not to the man, to the office. Next is honor. Honor the office of elder overseer. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Trust your elders, whether you're here at this church or any church, trust your elders. Learn from them. Heed their instruction and their rebukes. Submit to their care and care for them. Thirdly, pray for your elders. And let me go back to honor. If an elder is not worthy of honor by their behavior or their actions, they should probably be removed. Well, I don't feel like honoring my elder. Why? Well, I just don't like him. Why not? I don't like his cologne. Okay, that's a personal issue. It's not a God issue. Well, I don't like him. Why? Because he's just mean. Well, that may be a disqualification issue. Thirdly, if it's true and elders are appointed by God to shepherd the flock, then what does it necessitate? It necessitates that you pray for your elders. This is a Spurgeon quote, but someone asked Spurgeon later in his ministry, what do you ascribe the greatness of your ministry to? And he says, my people pray for me. My people pray for me. Consider this, if according to Jesus, if you strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. If this was true of the chief shepherd, how much more so for the under shepherds? An elder who is shepherding must be strong enough to fight off ravenous wolves, yet gentle enough to mend the wounds of sheep. They must be able to cry with those who suffer and be able to rejoice with those who celebrate. They must be able to engage with philosophical giants and speak to little babes. They must carry the scars of ministry without scarring those they minister to. And they must be able to do this without disqualifying themselves in their ministry or in their family. We must pray for our elders and pray for our pastors. Biblically, that's true. Personally, that is true. Elders are appointed by God to shepherd the flock of God. And so in conclusion, I conclude with this. Where are the men who have been called to shepherd the flock of God? Where are the men who have been called to correct and to rebuke and to exhort and with patience and sound teaching do these things? Where are the men who will not only pay attention to their own lives, but also the lives of the flock of God? Where are the men who will endure the wolves so that the sheep might be spared and not spread? Where are the men who will stand where Christ is appointed so that when the sheep are learning what it means to be godly, they have a point of reference? Where are the men who have heard the call and have desired the office and say, I need to do this? God calls, God appoints through the local church, but the men must aspire. If the church is to continue, it must continue with men who are prepared to endure great, great sacrifice. And this is not something that can be taught. It's something that must be endured. Will you pray with me? God, will you raise up a generation of men, young and old, who are willing, to submit to the call? Not because they look nice and they talk smooth, but because they believe with every ounce of their being that you, Jesus, are who you say you are and are worthy of complete and utter devotion. Men who properly order their lives according to your word. God, would you grant this church with men who love you, who are worthy of honor, who are worthy of respect, according to your standards and not ours. God, would you grant this church with men who are prepared to serve here and are prepared to go out? We love you, God. We submit to you knowing that it is a gracious thing that you have given your church under shepherds who are willing to shepherd your flock until you return. We seek you, God, to you be the glory forever. Amen.